I'd like to thank Saul and Harbor Group for giving me the opportunity to share with you some Torah here this afternoon at this auspicious time of the Yontif of Chanukah, and thank you, of course, for coming. It's widely understood that the seven branches of the menorah represent the seven wisdoms of the world, with the middle branch corresponding to Chokhmas HaTorah. And the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Ba'aloyischa, Mul Pnei HaMenorah, Helo Neiroseha, that all of the flames at the top of the outer six branches of the menorah were prostrated, leaning in towards the flame on the top of the center branch of the menorah, which represents the Chokhmas HaTorah. And this is in order to indicate that the other six wisdoms of the world can contribute to our understanding and application of the mitzvahs of the Torah, but also perhaps can be derived and extrapolated from and culled from the Torah itself. But it primarily represents that the Torah is at the center of everything else that we're engaged in, of everything that we do. And this is most strongly defines what Harbor Group seems to be about, and what, of course, our dear Yedid Saul Dubetsky is all about. That while he's engaged in many other things, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Helo Neiroseha, everything is defined by the Torah that is in the middle of it. It was only a few months ago that I remember hearing him explain emotionally the importance of being a committed religious Jew while in the workplace, primarily with regards to honesty, integrity, responsibility, and charity, as he was giving a charge to his son Emmanuel at his bar mitzvah. And I think Saul chose that message because that really is what he feels most deeply in his core about, is allowing the Torah to define everything that we do. So I thank again Saul and Harbor Group for giving us the opportunity, particularly during this Yontif of Chanukah, to allow the Torah here in the middle of the workplace perhaps to illuminate and define all that we do. I wanted to discuss the topic or the issue, the practice of lighting the menorah outside, and what message that carries with it for us as religious Jews in a secular society in terms of what is our role and what is our responsibility. But in order to do that effectively, we need to take a brief step back to understand and appreciate perhaps what is the focus of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and perhaps what is the role that Persumei Nisa plays. So the Gemara tells us over here, Os Aleph, Gemara Mesech the Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph from the base, in the middle of the first line, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Mishatishke Hachama Ashatich LeRegel Min Ashuk. It's from the time that the sun set until there's no more foot traffic in the marketplace. So the Gemara asks, with regards to what is this statement relevant? The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Mishatishke Hachama Ashatich LeRegel Min Ashuk. The first possibility of the success is at the beginning of the second line, is that it's telling us the window of opportunity that we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Ilo Adlik Madlik, if you haven't lit in until now, you can light during this specific window of time, from the time of sunset until Ad Shetich LeRego Min Ashuk. The other opinion in the Gemara is that it's indicating or prescribing a certain amount of oil that we have to have in each candle, which is oil that can last, that can burn from the time of sunset until there's no more foot traffic in the marketplace. That's how much oil one would have to have. How much oil is that? As we all know, is approximately a half an hour's worth of oil. That's the amount of oil they would have to last from the period of Shkias HaChama until Ad Shetich LeRegel Min Ashuk. So the Gemara has these two opinions, possibilities. What is this statement relevant for? The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Mishatishke Hacham Shetich LeRegel Min Ashuk. Is this relevant in terms of indicating or limiting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to this specific window of time, from sunset to about a half an hour after sunset, when there was no more foot traffic in the marketplace, keeping in mind, of course, that we have streetlights or even gas lamps. You know, so once the sun set, there was pretty much a curfew. It was not, you couldn't really get much else done. So about a half an hour after sunset, there was no more foot traffic in the marketplace, and one can only fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah while there is still foot traffic in the marketplace. Or is the Gemara telling us, no, not a specific window of time that limits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but rather how much oil one has to have in the candles in order to fulfill the mitzvah? And Tosfos understood that these two explanations and possibilities are at odds with one another. And there, in fact, there's a machloikas. And the difference will be, can one light the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, assuming that he has a half an hour's worth of oil, can he light it beyond the period of Ad Shetich L'Rego Min Hashuk? When there's no longer foot traffic in the marketplace, can you still fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? According to the first answer in the Gemara, you cannot. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is limited to that specific window in time while there's still foot traffic in the marketplace. And according to the second opinion of the Gemara, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah beyond Tichlei Regel Min Hashuk as long as you have a half an hour's worth of oil. So Tosfos claims if a person missed that window, he should light Ner Chanukah without a bracha, because according to one opinion of the Gemara, he would not be able to fulfill the mitzvah any longer. And that fundamentally is the same as the position of the Rambam. The Rambam, however, understood that these two answers of the Gemara are not at odds with one another, contradictory, they are rather complementary. The Rambam explains that a person is limited in the window of opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins at Shkiyas HaChama, at sunset, and concludes at the time of Tichlei Regel Min Hashuk. However, the Rambam understood that the amount of oil that you need is a function of how much time you have left until Tichlei Regel Min Hashuk. The shear is the amount of time you have to have oil that will last until the end of that zman. So if a person begins lighting at Shkiyas HaChama, he would need a half an hour's worth of oil. If he lit, let's say, Shkiyas HaChama nowadays, 4:30, so if he lit at 4:45, he would only need 15 minutes worth of oil until to get to, you know, Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Hashuk. They're not two independent answers. One is advising or explaining the other. So there's a specific window of time where you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and you have to have, depending on where you light in that window of time, you have to have the amount of oil that can take you to the conclusion of that period of time. So what emerges is something unusual for the Rambam, which is not what we usually assume, and that is that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah even with only 15 minutes of oil, or 10 minutes of oil. If you lit at 4:45, you lit at 4:50, if Shki is at 4:30, so all you need is the amount of oil that could get you to the conclusion of that window of time, Tichlei Regel Min Hashuk, when there's no, you know, more foot traffic in the marketplace, and one can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with 10 minutes of oil alone, as opposed to Tosfos, you would always need a half an hour's worth of oil. But both Tosfos and the Rambam agree that this line in the Gemara should be taken at face value, and that is that one can only fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah between the window of time of Shkiyas HaChama and Ad Shetichlei Regel Min Hashuk, when there's no longer foot traffic in the marketplace. So that means you can only fulfill the mitzvah during the first half an hour after Shkiyas HaChama. Yeah.
According to the second view, that it's talking about the shear of oil.
Yeah.
What happens if it goes out in the middle? Is that totally in the same machloikas or totally in kafsa zakuk?
That's kafsa zakuk level. We assume kafsa and zakuk level. That's the whole context of the Gemara. Yeah.
Okay. So kafsa and zakuk level, as long as you put in half an hour of
oil,
even if it was less than only for one
minute,
that would be sufficient.
Right. Yeah. However, this seems somewhat restrictive. However, we should keep in mind the opinion of the Ritva, which is the way that many assume, even though it's only the opinion of the Ritva, perhaps seems to be, perhaps the opinion of the Rambam as well. If you look over here at the end of Osalof in the brackets, so the Ritva explains that this period of time of foot traffic being found in the marketplace is not necessarily limited to a half an hour. It depends. Every place and every time will be different. If there happen to be people found in the marketplace beyond the first half an hour, so then the window of time of opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has been expanded as well. And perhaps this is already alluded to, even though it's only found explicitly in the Ritva, the Briskerov claimed that this is what the Rambam meant when the Rambam writes, if you look in the middle of the second line of the Rambam, he writes, V'kama huzman zeh, how long is the period between Shkiyas HaChama until Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Hashuk? It's about a half an hour, you know, or more. We would probably translate that one second. We probably translate that as, you know, more or less. More or less. But in halacha, we rarely have more or less. It either is or it isn't. So what does the Rambam mean, O Yoser? He probably means at minimum a half an hour, but if there would be foot traffic found later, you know, in the marketplace, one could, then, you know, that would expand the opportunity to fulfill Ner Chanukah.
But the opportunity, yeah. What is the hospital we don't get the mitzvah if we have too little oil? Today, people don't come up till 8 o'clock and you light a shkia.
Yeah.
Is it possible in the Rambam sheet that you need 3 hours of oil?
Of course. Maybe you would have to light from shkia until all the way Ad Shetich HaRegel Min Hashuk, which could be 11 o'clock, you know, depending where you live in the city that never sleeps. Yeah.
So how do you know you don't say that?
There are some who take this Rambam to that extreme, that not only does it give me a window of opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with only a half an hour's worth of oil, I would need bowls of oil to light from Shkiyas Achama all the way until Acha, what there is practically Acha Ticha Regel Min Ashok. You're 100% right, and there are those who are machmeh like that. Most would assume that it's enough with a half an hour's worth of oil, because that's what it was in the times of the Gemara, but my window of opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah has been expanded. Okay, but if whenever it is in a person's vicinity, there is no more foot traffic found in the marketplace, both according to the Rambam and according to Tosfos, one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah at all, according to the Rambam, or at least with a bracha, according to Tosfos. However, if you look at the Rashba, gave it to you in the brackets, back at Os Aleph, the Rashba disagrees. He says, come on, let's be reasonable. Acheticha regel min ashuk doesn't mean that that's a hard, you know, deadline. What it means is that's the ideal time to light. But if one will not be able to light, but you know, before the end, you know, the culmination of foot traffic in the marketplace, he could still fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah even beyond that period of time. The Gemara meant to define what is the ideal time for lighting in order to publicize the miracle to the foot traffic in the marketplace. But if one will miss that window of opportunity, he could in fact fulfill it later. And the Rashba writes that it's no different than any other mitzvah that applies at night, where typically the mitzvah lasts the entire night, all the way until Alois HaShachar, even though Kriya Shema, let's say, we try and do before Chatzos, but if one will miss the cutoff of Chatzos, he continues to say Kriya Shema, Davin Mariv, all the way until Alois HaShachar. So says the Rashba, it's no different than the Mishnah Masechtas Megillah, which he quotes over there in the fifth line, Kol Shem Mitzvasu Balayla, Kasher Kol Alayla. You can really do it the entire night. And that's the opinion of the Tur in Ois Gimel, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah should be lit at the time of Shkiyas HaChama. But if you miss that, because that's when you'll get, you know, the greatest publicity for the mitzvah, the greatest pirsum hanes, but umikol makom adayin zmana kol alayla. If you miss that window of opportunity, you can continue to light, albeit it's not the ideal, but you can continue to light with a bracha, you know, all the way, perhaps, until Alois HaShachar. No different than any other mitzvah that we encounter at night.
Well, all of mitzvahs at night aren't totally in Pesim and Nisa, so of course you can go all night. But
correct.
All mitzvahs with Pesim and Nisa, so why should we be able to go?
So in the Sefer Kuntres Chanukah Megillah, which was written by one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, he suggests that this Machlokes HaRishonim hinges upon what role does Pesim and Nisa play in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. As Ali just suggested, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, Pesumei Nisa seems to be the very definition, the purpose of lighting Ner Chanukah in the first place, is to publicize the miracle. And therefore, if person is limited to that window of opportunity between Shkiyas HaChama and Tichle Regel Min Ashuk, when the foot traffic ceases to be in the marketplace. Beyond that, when there's no more people in the marketplace, you accomplish nothing by lighting the mitzvah, by lighting the Ner Chanukah, because you're not going to publicize the miracle to anyone. And the whole definition of the mitzvah, the focus, the purpose of lighting Ner Chanukah is in order to publicize the miracle. So therefore one is limited by that specific window of time, which perhaps in our times expanded somewhat. But if whatever is the cutoff of Acheticha Regel Min Ashuk, where a person lives, he'd be limited by that window of time. However, according to the Rashba and according to the Tur, it seems to be that they define the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah differently. It's not only to publicize the miracle, that clearly plays a role. However, the mitzvah is defined as lighting a menorah, zecher l'neis, to remind us of the miracle that took place, of the halakas ha-menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is no different than any other mitzvah halayla, which begins as shkia and continues all the way until Alois HaShachar. It's ideal to light it when you could gain parsume nisa as well, but that's an ancillary, that's a secondary concern. It is not the very definition of the mitzvah. This is perhaps could explain why the Rambam and the Tur disagree about a subtle point, but very relevant practically, and that is, when is the first time that one can light? So the Gemara said, Mishetishka Hachama, from sunset, which literally means when the ball of the sun dips below the horizon. And that's the opinion of the Rambam. Look back at those bays. The Rambam says, at the time when the sun is setting. So now, today, 4:30-ish, somewhere around there. The Tur disagrees, and that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well. Look at Ois Gimel. Mitzvasa misof shkiyas hachama. That is what usually refers to tseisa kachavim, when there's no longer a light from the sun even peeking above the horizon. Not only is the ball of the sun dip below the horizon, there's no more light peeking above the horizon. Tzeis ha-kochavim. That's when a person should light. So what emerges then is an interesting dilemma, is that according to the Rambam, at least the way we see, simply understood without our adding the Ritva and our Diuk of Oyoser, according to the Rambam, a person is limited, conscribed to the first half an hour after Shkiyas HaCham, in which to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. According to the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, you can't even light then. By the time you're lighting for the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch at Tzeis HaKochavim, you've missed the entire window of opportunity for the Rambam to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's why throughout the generations, because you missed the first half an hour, so that's why throughout the generations there were many gedolim who couldn't, who were not happy with the fact that perhaps they were not fulfilling the mitzvah according to the Rambam, even though it's not the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore they would light before Tzeis HaKochavim, some were either 10 minutes after the Shkia, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, different gedolim and different practices, to somehow chaperine at least a few minutes according to the Rambam. And as we explained, for the Rambam, you have that interesting position that you don't necessarily need a half an hour in order to fulfill the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. If you even have the amount of oil that could take you to the end of Ad Shetichah Regel Menashuk, you can fulfill the mitzvah even with 5 minutes or even with 10 minutes. So there's some who lit somewhere in between in order to satisfy both opinions. But why should the Rambam necessarily feel that the mitzvah is at Shkia, sunset, and according to the Shur and the Shulchan Aruch, it's at Tzeis HaKochavim? So perhaps, again, this hinges on the way that they define the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and Tosfos is to publicize the miracle. That is the very definition, the focus of the mitzvah. And therefore, after Shtichla Regel Menashuk, he can no longer fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So then, if a person wants to publicize the miracle the best, lighting during the day will accomplish nothing. What is a candle going to do in a window in the middle of the day? But the minute that the sun sets, you can already begin to publicize the miracle. And a half an hour later, the traffic in the street already been severely diminished. So the Rambam felt the ideal time in which to publicize the miracle is Shkia, for the following half an hour. However, according to the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah is not focused or defined by publicizing the miracle, Pirsum Hanes. It's a secondary concern. The mitzvah is to light the menorah at night, Zecher, to what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, it's no different than any other mitzvah halayla. It continues the whole night, even beyond Ad Shetichla Regel Menashuk. You could even do it till Alois HaShachar. But then it should begin like all mitzvahs halayla, like Kriya Shema begins also at Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's at the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch perhaps are of the opinion that the mitzvah begins at Tzeis HaKochavim. However, the Rambam and Tosfos, at least their perspective, that the mitzvah is defined by Pirsum Hanes, presents us with a difficulty in understanding another halach in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is telling you. It has to tell you it somewhere. Tishka Chama means Tzeis HaKochavim. Tzeis HaKochavim. That's what the Torah and Shulchan Aruch say. It means Tzeis HaKochavim. Sof Shkia. However, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, we're going to have a difficulty interpreting another halach in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, as we know, Tana Rabbana, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah La'anicha, Pesach, Besam, Ibachot. Over here, Ois Dawu. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to place the menorah outside of our homes. If a person lives in a second floor apartment that he doesn't have his independent doorway that's adjacent to the foot traffic, then he should put it in the window, manicha b'chaloin. But ubishasa sakana, manicha al shulchan v'dayoy. At the time of sakana, he places it on his table, in his dining room, even not next to the window. No one outside will see it, and that's enough. What is shasa sakana? What does that mean? Usually interpreted as religious persecution. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Hay lahem the Parsiim, the Persians had a practice that a chayk biyoy meidam, a rule on their holiday, shlo yaviru ner ela bebeis of adizar shalahem. All candles were only able to be burned in their houses of worship, not outside. And therefore, we could not light outside; we had to light inside our homes. Was that a violation of their rule, of their law, statute? Sounds like it was. So why were we doing it then? We're risking our lives in order to do Ner Chanukah. Why are we risking? It's not one of the three cardinal sins. Why are we risking our lives to do Ner Chanukah? So the answer presumably is, because the Gemara tells him in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Peshas Hashmad, at a time of religious persecution, a person has to give up his life for any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Perhaps even Ner Chanukah. However, Tosfos asks on Rashi, he says, 1 minute, this is not religious persecution. This is an oppressive law, but it's not directed against Jews. It has nothing to do with Yidden. It has to do with they only made their middle rule. Candles can only be lit in their houses of worship. So therefore, Taisa says differently. Look at the brackets in Oizdaud. Omer read the Shasa Sakana Sakana's Gzeira Shegazu Shalola Hadlik Ner Chanukah. They made a specific legislation targeted at Ner Chanukah, not to light Ner Chanukah. So that's a Shasa Shmad, a classic Shasa Shmad. We have to risk our lives in order to fulfill any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, and therefore they lit Ner Chanukah, not outside. That would be a direct challenge to the government, but they lit inside. However, the Ritva disagrees, and he says, no, a person doesn't have to risk his life for a mitzvah asay. Yes, at a time of religious persecution, you have to risk your life. That's for a mitzvah lo sasay, not for a mitzvah asay. Lo sof davar sakonis defadim keep shidil a mitzvah asay lo yahorek. You don't have to risk your life for a mitzvah asay. How do you know that? Because we know the story of Elisha Baal Knafayim. Elisha Baal Knafayim was Elisha, the one with wings, because he was wearing tefillin at a time that they made a rule that one is not allowed to wear tefillin on the penalty of death. And he was caught wearing tefillin, and he ran into an alleyway where he took the tefillin off and he put it in his hands. And the authorities found him. They said, we saw you wearing tefillin. He said, no, I wasn't wearing tefillin. They said, oh yeah, what's in your hands? Open your hands. And he opened his hands, and a bird flew out. That's why we wrap our tefillin on either side of the bias, the ritzuis, in order to symbolize, to represent wings, to remind us of that nes that took place to Elisha Baal Knafayim. How was he able to take his tefillin off then? He should have, it was a time of religious persecution, should have given up his life rather than take off the tefillin. The answer, says the Ritva, is that one doesn't have to give up his life in order to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, even at a time of religious persecution. So if that's the case, says the Ritva, if this was really legislation targeted against the Jews on the penalty of death, we should have given up on the whole Ner Chanukah. Why are we lighting it? We don't have to risk your life for Ner Chanukah. So Ritva says, no, there was no penalty of death here. It was, they were going to give us a hard time. They were going to be mitzaros, you know, give us a hard time. There was no threat, you know, mortal danger. And the Ritva concludes, because of that, we move Ner Chanukah inside. So says the Ritva, whenever we're overly inconvenienced, we can move Ner Chanukah inside. So Ritva quotes from the Ramban, if there's a heavy wind blowing, no problem, move Ner Chanukah inside. That perhaps can help us understand the question. They answer the question of the Or Zeruah, who asks over here, Oisei, how is it that nowadays we, Baruch Hashem, do not live in a time of religious persecution? We are free to practice our religion here, with the good graces of the American government, so why do we continue to light inside? Most of us should continue to light outside. That's the question of the Or Zeruah. So our Chashulchan suggests, based on this comment of the Ramban that the Ritva quotes, that if there's a heavy wind outside, so we don't have to light outside, but you can buy a glass box. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, nah, you don't have to buy a glass box. Kuli hai lo atrichu rabbonon. They were never matriachas so much to get a glass box. They were matriachas to fast, you know, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av. They were matriachas to eat, you know, many kazesim of matzah. And all of a sudden here, the glass box, that's the line in the sand. So I believe that the answer is that according to the Ritva, one can fulfill the mitzvah equally outside as well as inside. So if it's overly, burdensome, or cumbersome, or difficult to fulfill the mitzvah outside, so move it inside, even if it's windy outside. The Taisvis held, no, the only reason you can move Ner Chanukah inside is if there's a sakonis nefashis. And Taisvis held, even for a mitzvah asay, you have to give up your life, rather than at a time of religious persecution. And the only reason they moved it inside was religious persecution. According to Taisvis, you can only move it in if your person's life is in danger. According to Ritva, no, it's a little stickle. That's it, we'll move it inside, no problem. Why, according to Taisvis, did it have to be a sakonis nefashis? According to the Ritva, it's just inconvenient. And we believe that it's according to the Ritva, it's following the position of the Rashba, they're from the same school. And the Ritva's position is that Pursume Nisa is not integral, it's not essential and indispensable to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is defined by lighting a menorah, Zeichel and Ace. We would like to have Pursume Nisa too, but that's an additional concern. So if you can't light outside, it's too inconvenient, too difficult, light inside. We'll fulfill the mitzvah equally in either place. However, according to the Rambam, according to Tosfos, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is defined by Pursume Nisa. By publicizing the miracle. So outside, you're really going to fulfill the mitzvah. You want to bring it inside, so there better be some legitimate, serious concern, even sakonis nefoshes. That's what you need in order to move the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah inside. And therefore, according to Tosfos, it wouldn't be enough that it's just inconvenient to light outside. It would have to be a serious concern of sakonis nefoshes. However, now we're left with a problem. Now that we move the mitzvah there, Hanukkah inside, how do we fulfill the mitzvah? According to Tosfos and the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, Yesh Oimrim, Shebizman Hazeh Shemadlikim Bifnim, nowadays we light inside. One doesn't have to be careful to light right away Shkiyas HaChama, because the primary Pirsum Hanes nowadays is to the Bnei HaBayis. There is a Pirsum Hanes, but instead of focusing on the audience outside, we focus now on the audience inside. And even though outside the ideal time is at Shkiyas HaChama, until Al Chetich L'Regel Min Ashuk, nowadays we were focused inside, on the audience inside the house, so then that's one doesn't have to necessarily be careful to light a Shkiyas HaChama. Rabbi Yaakov suggested that perhaps, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests in his comments to Emes Liakov, that perhaps the ideal time to light in a house is when all of the family is around. The family that lights together stays together. So it's best to light when the family's around. So not a Shkia. Shkia, 4:30, no one's around. Or even at 5 o'clock, it's Eitzah Kochavim. Best to wait till the family's around and light together as a family, where you'll maximize your Pirsum Hanes to the audience inside of the house. Yeah, but let's say, you know, there is no audience inside the house. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, therefore you should really have to wake everybody up. If a person arrives late at home, you know, home late, you better wake up the people in the house up in order to make sure that he has an audience. Without Pirsum Hanes, according to Tosfos in the Rambam, you have no mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is to publicize the miracles. If you're lighting outside, you have that audience. If you're lighting inside, you have a different audience, but they better be up. However, the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes from the Chamed Moshe, who disagrees. Nah, you don't have to wake up anybody. He said, how is it any different than a person who lives alone? Person lives alone. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, Manichal Shulchan Avedayo, put it on the table in the dining room, not adjacent to the window. No one's going to see it except you. And you fulfill the mitzvah. You don't have to wake up anybody. And that's how Rav Moshe Paskins in the Gros Moshe, you do not have to wake up anybody later at night. Even though the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, you don't have to wake up anybody later at night. A minute, if that's the case, so where's your Pirsum Hanes? And according to the Rambam and Tosfos, that's the very definition of the mitzvah, to publicize the miracle. But if no one's up, where's the Pirsum Hanes?
Why isn't the Chalayim? No.
The Gemara says, Manichal Shulchan Avedayo, you're lighting it on your dining room table, no window. What if you don't have a good exposure?
That's the third option, right?
Yeah.
Only Shasta Sakana, but today, why?
Why are we lighting it out inside Bechlau? Good question. And, but I'll ask you, but the Gemara says, B'shasa Sakana, Manichal Shulchan Avedayo. But I'm asking you, at a time of Sakana, what if, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, how can we even move it inside? Even if your life is in danger, right? Let's ask the basic question. Even if your life is in danger, so what are we going to do? Move the mitzvah Ner Chanukah inside. But you haven't, Tosfos, you accomplished nothing. The whole mitzvah is to be part to publicize the miracle. But by moving it inside, what mitzvah do you have? You lost Ha'ikar Chas Min HaSefer. The whole mitzvah was to publicize the miracle. Now by placing it on your table, there's no publicity. So maybe if the Bnei HaBayis are up, you have the audience of inside the house.
But if you move it inside,
you switch the audience.
Then
of course. Okay. But what about the Manichal Shulchan Avedayo? The Gemara said you could leave it on your dining room table, no one's going to see it. And the Shaar HaTzion argues, that even if you're all alone in your house, and that's how Rav Moshe Paskins, there's no one else there, you fulfill the mitzvah. But how can you fulfill the mitzvah? Even if there is a Shas HaTzakan, you're fulfilling nothing by lighting inside your house. So the Sefer Kuntres Chanukah Megillah quotes from the Briskerov, that it must be that the mitzvah changes b'shas ha-sakana. B'shas ha-sakana, you can fulfill the mitzvah even without Pirsum Hanes, publicizing the miracle.
Publicizing to yourself.
Even without publicizing the miracle. So therefore the Briskerov said, if you went inside and there was no publicity and you have the opportunity later, you have to light outside because you really haven't fulfilled the main mitzvah. Why is it then that we continue to light inside in our times? So Briskerov suggests that those who do so are assuming that once the mitzvah changed, b'sasha sakana, the mitzvah changed even subsequently, even moving forward, even when there isn't a time of religious persecution, we now light inside. Not only for the publicity of the Bnei HaBayis, but even if there is no publicity to others at all, b'sasha sakana, the mitzvah changes, and a person can fulfill it without any audience at all. And this is based on the comments of the Baal HaEter, where the Baal HaEter writes, "V'shasa sakana menichal shulchan v'dayo, o me'acha shenogu asakana nahagu." Once they established that practice, that became the practice subsequently as well. And that's the argument of the Dvar Yoshua Dayan in Ehrenberg, who used to be the Dayan in Tel Aviv, writes in his Shuvas the Dvar Yoshua. That's why the practice of Klal Yisrael is to continue to light. Many within Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the many light outside. But our practice is to continue to light inside, because we assume that from the time of Shas HaTzakana, the mitzvah changed. Previously, it was to publicize the miracle that perhaps was indispensable and integral. But after Shas HaTzakana, the mitzvah changed. And now, we no longer have to publicize the miracle. Even if there's no audience, a person can fulfill the mitzvah in their Chanukah by manich al shulchan of a dayo. And once the mitzvah changed, it changed even at times that it's not Shas HaTzakana.
A little counterintuitive, because all Chanukah is based on religious persecution and celebrating back then. And now with many religious persecution, a great mitzvah.
I hear you. I'll ask a better question. How could it be a mitzvah changes? Since when do mitzvahs change? How did mitzvahs change?
Initial mitzvah. Rabbanu had the foresight.
It was one mitzvah, now it's a different mitzvah. It's very unusual. Very unusual. I believe that the mitzvah has not changed. B'shas HaSakana. However, it's the same message. Just the vehicle changed. The vehicle through which we accomplished that message has changed. Because who is the audience that we're publicizing the miracle to? So if you look at the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, the Gemara says, when is this period of Ad Sheticha Regel Min Hashuk concluded? Ad Dekalya Rigla De Tarmudoi. When the Tarmudoi were no longer found in the marketplace. Who are these Tarmudoi? So the Rif explains, Tarmuda is wood, and these are the wood salesmen. They were known as Tarmudoi, but they might even be Jewish. However, Rashi explains, no, they were from a certain place in Syria, known as Tarmuda. And they were non-Jewish salesmen. Merchants. And therefore, they were called Tarmudai. They might have been selling wood as well, but it wasn't limited to the wood salesmen. And therefore, they were presumably not Jews. And writes of Chaim Knievsky in his Sefer Time of the Krot, the other parashas Vayeshev in his comments on Hanukkah, that you see from this Rashi, that the mitzvah Persume Nisa extends to non-Jews as well. It wasn't limited to Jews. The mitzvah was perhaps primarily directed. Ad Dekalya Rigla De Tarmudoi was perhaps directed towards non-Jews. Now that would be unusual, because we have other mitzvahs that entail Persume Nisa, Purim, there's Persume Nisa, Dalet Kaisis, there's Persume Nisa. We never encountered a notion to extend that Persume Nisa to non-Jews. That's limited to those at our Seder, to those in Shul with us at the time of Kriyas HaMegillah. It was never advantageous, so we never advocate to expand that our audience to non-Jews. Why is it on Hanukkah that we are specifically, perhaps, directing our Persume Nisa not to the Jews, but to the Tarmudoi in the marketplace? So Rabbi Yochum Olshan suggests in his Sefer Yerech L'Mayadim that perhaps it's because the Yevanim, as we know, threatened Klal Yisrael in a different way. And we were threatened during the Nes of Purim, during times of Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here we were not threatened with annihilation, but with assimilation, as we say in Alanisam Lashkicham, Terasecha, Ulaviram, Mechukei Ritzoinecha. That it was an existential threat, not of annihilation, but of assimilation. But they were not only opposed, to Yiddishkeit Befrat, specifically, their opposition was to all monotheistic religions. We were the only monotheistic religion that existed at the time. All the other ones developed later. However, they were opposed to the fundamentals of a monotheistic religion. They believed in a pagan system which worshipped Teva, that worshipped nature. And there was nothing beyond that which they could sense or that which they could touch. In fact, the letters of the word Yavan, noted in the past, have no depth to them. It's a Yud, Vav, and Nun. It's entirely superficial. That which I could see, that which I could touch with my senses, that was what they worshipped. They worshipped nature. And therefore, if you flip the page, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, they were opposed to dating documents with the name, from the time of the creation of the world, because they were opposed to that kind of religion entirely, not necessarily to Yiddishkeit specifically. And the Ramban explains in his comments in Parshas Achrimos that Yavan, again, was focused on that which they could sense, that which they could touch. They worshipped nature itself. Therefore, suggests Rabbi Yerucham, that perhaps all of the Greek threat of assimilation was not directed at Klal Yisrael, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within the world. And therefore, part of our role on Chanukah, of being Mefarsim Neis, is to restore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. That's what we're attempting to accomplish by being Mefarsim Neis, is not locally within the Jewish community, but to rehabilitate or to restore, that was the Yevanim threatened, which was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, a monotheistic presence within the world. And that's what we are attempting to accomplish through lighting the menorah, specifically outside, as long as the non-Jews are in the marketplace, is to publicize the ethics and the morals and the values of monotheistic religions in general. However, that's only if the outside world, and that's why it's different than Purim and Pesach. However, that's only not B'Shas HaSakana. B'Shas HaSakana here perhaps refers to the outside society being interested in our influence and being interested in hearing that message. But even if it's not limited necessarily to a time of religious persecution, but it's a shasa sakana in the sense that they're not looking to us to publicize monotheistic values to the rest of the world. They're not ready to hear that message from us, which I think would extend to our times as well. Then we move the Ner Chanukah inside. How could the mitzvah have changed? What about our mission of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world at the time of Chanukah? I believe that the focus of Ner Chanukah is now on the person who's lighting the menorah himself. It's on us. In what sense? It's reminding us that we have that role ourselves through our actions to serve the same role as the menorah, to publicize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world by leading through example. Through our own actions, we are serving the purpose of halakhas menorah outside. So instead of lighting the menorah outside and overtly publicizing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, we, through example, through our own actions, have to take that responsibility ourselves as we encounter the outside world and through our own actions and interactions with non-Jews, to publicize the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. So therefore, the Chanukah menorah is to remind us of that role and responsibility, and that's why, and with the meaning of lighting the Chanukah menorah indoors nowadays. It's not the same message, but perhaps it's accomplished in a different way and directed at a slightly different audience. And this is really our role throughout the year entirely, is to serve that kind of role of leading by example. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Chagiga, one is not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. A Moser in Divrei Torah Lenachri. As the Pasuk says, Magid Vav Liyakov, Chukav Mishpatav Liyisrael, Lo Yasachen Lechol Goy, Mishpatim Baal Yadom. So we're not saying Mishpatim Baal Yadom, they don't know our Mishpatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates Chukav Mishpatim with Kal Yisrael, but our Mishpatim are unknown to them. We're not allowed to teach them Torah. What about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? So Taisa says that, of course, they are allowed to learn, and we have a responsibility to teach them. So it says, Ika mitzvah. Mitzvah Ika l'maisra mahem. We have a mitzvah to teach it. The Marsha says that only means the basic principles, not the reasons underlying the mitzvahs. And he has a beautiful diak from the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, Magid Varv liYaakov, Chukav v'mishpatav liYisrael. Hashem teaches us, Chukim and Mishpatim. Chukim are things we don't understand. Mishpatim are those things that we do understand. But to the Nachrim, u'mishpatim bal yadom. They don't know mishpatim, they don't know reasons for things, all they know is chukim. That they do know. They know they have to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs from Nesai without perhaps a deep understanding of it. And lo yasa chain, it's Gematria 70, Gematria sod, says Marsha, that they don't know. Sod, the reasons for things, is unknown to them. All they are supposed to keep is the Seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in a superficial fashion. However, he's alone in that position. The Meiri disagrees that no, when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, we have to teach them everything. The basic mitzvahs, the reasons that underlie it, and the morals and the values that are implied by them, by the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That they're required to accept and to embrace all of it. They have to understand it B'iyun. And many accept the approach of the Meiri, because when it comes to other mitzvahs of the Torah, we can explain things in a superficial and external fashion to non-Jews. A non-Jew asks you, what is the Yom Tov Sukkot about? We know that he's allowed to explain it to him. We're allowed to. That's what the Torah says. That's why we celebrate Sukkot during Tishrei, lest someone ask us what it's about. So we know basic, superficial, you know, things about Yiddishkeit we can explain, even when it's nothing to do with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So when it has to do with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, clearly we have to explain even the deeper meanings behind it. And the Rambam, as well, in Parakhez of Hilchus Malachim, explains that we have a responsibility to adjudicate the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the Sefer Chassidim continues in Ois Tez Zayin that we have a responsibility if we see one of the Umas HaOlam not keeping to the standards of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to inform him you know, that he's doing improperly, not because of the mitzvah, that's limited to Klal Yisrael, it's an interpersonal mitzvah, but as an educational role, to explain to him that this does not conform with his responsibilities as a Ben Noach. Yeah, but no one's doing this. We don't have lunch and learns. We're not doing this. We're shirking this responsibility. What happened to this? So Rav Moshe is quoted over here, Maseiros Moshe, which is a kind of biography of an Hagas of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked by a woman who had a relationship with certain Bnei Noach and was in an opportunity to explain some of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach to them. Rav Moshe says she should explain them. That's what she should do. However, Rav Moshe says to publicly advocate on behalf of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, that's reserved for a time of Yemos HaMashiach. That's not for now, while we find ourselves in the diaspora. We would not advocate for enforcing the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, even though the Rambam tells us we have a mitzvah to adjudicate the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We have no interest in imposing that kind of legislation, as long as we're in the Golos. That's reserved for Yemos HaMashiach. Lubavitch has taken on that role, but I believe that perhaps that fits in line with Lubavitch's position and posture with regards to Yemos HaMashiach in general, that they are trying to hasten it by acting as if it's already come. But Rav Moshe claims that in our times we should not publicly advocate on behalf of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Of course, we have to advocate for ourselves in lobbying politically, you know, and what that requires, but lobbying on behalf of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach as a responsibility to larger society, that we should not do. That's reserved for Yemos HaMashiach. But what about this obligation to educate the Sheva, to educate the Umos HaOlam and the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So I believe that the answer is that we fulfill that obligation by example, by embodying what ethical and moral Jews, those principles of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and espousing them through our actions. That itself is what educates society around us, and through that we fulfill our role, as the Navi Yeshaya describes it, as an Or LaGoyim, as a light, as a role model unto the nations of the world. And perhaps that's what a Chilul Hashem and a Kiddush Hashem is really all about in the eyes of the non-Jews, is about embodying the role and the messages and the values of the Torah, and through our actions demonstrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. And that educates society around us, but also restores HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to the world, and is one of the responsibilities, perhaps, that we're reminded of on Chanukah by lighting the Chanukah menorah inside the house, is to remind us of that role and that responsibility to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, if not overtly, through publicity, but rather by publicizing it subtly through our actions and serving as role models in that regard. Then Chanukah, of course, is celebrated on the 25th of Kislev. The number 25, Chaf Hei, the Leshem writes in Sefer Klalim, corresponds to the word Or. Why? Because the word Or is the 25th word found in the Torah. Vayehi Or. So therefore, the number 25 corresponds to Or. In fact, Vayehi, Yehi, is also Yud Hei Yud, is Gematria 25, which also represents Or. Perhaps because in the Yontif of Chanukah, which is celebrated on the 25th of Kislev, we're reminded of our responsibility to be an Or LaGoyim, to be role models, not overtly and through publicity, but rather subtly through our actions, but leading by example, to be more role models for society at large, to fulfill our role as the Am HaNivchar, to be an Or LaGoyim. There are also 25 letters in the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because our primary role as examples for the Umos HaOlam society around us is to remind them of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And therefore, it's Gematria, the 25 letters in the Shema. Interestingly, Kohen, right, is Chaf Hei and Nun. So some suggest because it's also Chaf Hei is 25, which is reminds us, the number 25 reminds us it's R, because they are supposed to serve as role models for the Nun, which is the number of letters in the names of the 12 Shvatim. They're supposed to serve as role models for Klal Yisrael, Ko Nun. However, we have a responsibility to serve as role models, which we're reminded of on Chanukah, which is celebrated on the 25th day of Kislev, of our role model, that we are supposed to be Or LaGoyim role models unto the world. In the kinos of Tisha B'Av, you might remember that we have a kina that breaks up the word Eicha into Eiko. Where is the Ko? So some suggest that perhaps it's because on Tisha B'Av we were lamenting the fact that we forgot about our responsibility to be role models to the rest of the world. The Ko is missing, that 25, which alludes to the word R, which reminds us to be an Or L'Goyim, has been lost to us. We forgot about that responsibility. But perhaps if we're reminded about that responsibility on Chanukah, which is celebrated on Ko Kislev, on Chaf Hei Kislev, Mir Tashem, we should be zeichet to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the lighting of the menorah once again, Yerushalayim, B'mher V'yomeinu, Amen.
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 Thank you.
Wow.
So
if
anybody wants more food, dessert, we're going to storm and